Throughout Parashat Vayetze, almost from their very first encounter, Lavan and Yaakov are locked in conflict. I wish to focus on a rare moment of encounter, though a fraught one, where the verses describe a desire to bridge. Come then, let us make a covenant, you and I. As we shall see, what emerges is a covenant of separation, a covenant in which much of the content is devoted to how the two will live apart, not together. Following Lavan's declaration, come then, let us make a covenant, Yaakov responds by building a physical structure. What drew my attention is the wide array of biblical terms and names given to this structure. Pillar, mound, yegar sahaduta, gal'ed, mitzpah. The names are not only numerous, they don't fully align. The verses present varied, even conflicting layers of meaning. The verses present a wide range of terms, as we saw, each carrying different, even conflicting connotations. A matziva is a single stone or column that is supposed to be seen. In addition, it's usually erected to commemorate a past event, in this case, the making of a covenant. While the matziva emphasizes the significance of the past, even the term gal'ed highlights the function of witness. This mound is a witness between you and me this day. It's true that memory and testimony are closely related, but they convey different meanings. The gal'ed testifies in the present, actualizing and affirming now that a covenant has been made. Mitzpeh, on the other hand, is a place from which one can see into the distance. It becomes a kind of eye that continues to see and look far across time and space, even when the two covenant makers are no longer together. It is the eye that demands the ongoing maintenance and accountability of the covenant. Beneath the attempt to erect a monument that might testify to a clear covenant, the language of the verses remains elusive. The fluidity of the characters' speech seems to undermine clarity, casting doubt on any genuine desire to understand one another or to truly bridge the gap between these men and their families. The text does not express concern that the different names and meanings signal a threat to the covenant. It does not worry that varying understandings or objectives might undermine the agreement. On the contrary, all meanings are allowed space in the narrative, and the different understandings of the covenant's purpose and significance are absorbed into the shaping of their future relationship. Indeed, the scriptures of life after the covenant reveal another role for this physical marker, that of separation. The verses say, and Lavan declared, this mound is a witness between you and me, this day. Lavan explains to Jacob, this mound, this pillar I have erected in between us, it is not a connecting symbol, it is a dividing one. Perhaps this is how we must understand the covenant described in these verses, a covenant of separation and disengagement. And indeed, Lavan continues making this explicit. This mound shall be witness, and this pillar shall be witness, that I am not to cross to you past this mound, and that you are not to cross to me past this mound and this pillar with hostile intent. The promise is not to cross over for harm. The emphasized content of this covenant is separation, and the stone monument both reinforces and clarifies that boundary. A covenant of separation also needs ongoing reinforcement. One more thing should be noted about the different names. Lavan named it Yegar Sahaduta and Yaakov named it Gal'ed. As noted, Lavan and Yaakov give different names to the same monument, reflecting not only a range of meaning, but also a range of languages, each speaking in their own tongue. Yaakov uses Hebrew, the sacred tongue, while Lavan uses his own language, Aramaic. Suddenly, a surprising reality emerges. It is possible that these two men, who spent so many years together, were actually speaking different languages the entire time, and thus lived with a gap between them, an ongoing distance of translation, so to speak. One might worry that these different languages reflect different understandings, and that differing understandings might threaten the integrity of the covenant. This concern finds expression in both halachic discussions and theological ones. It surfaces in the form of a question. Does a translation of the Torah have a different status than its original Hebrew? An affirmative answer raises the fear that perhaps Yaakov and Lavan were each entering into a fundamentally different covenant, so much so that there was not even sufficient shared understanding between them to form a genuine pact. In Tractate Shabbat, the Talmud wonders, if there is a fire on Shabbat and one is permitted to rescue sacred texts despite the prohibition of the day, may one also save sacred texts that are translated? The Torah Tmima emphasizes this discussion. Yegar Sahaduta, it was taught, one may rescue translations of the Torah on Shabbat from the fire. And what is considered a translation of the Torah? Yegar Sahaduta. In other words, within the halachic and theological realm, the commentators interpret this binding covenant as an act that contains the potential, perhaps even the imperative, to expound the boundaries of the sacred. A covenant is not about narrowing or fortifying a single limited possibility. On the contrary, the very act of forging a covenant implies an expansion of what can be understood as holy, as sanctified. The biblical text itself does not express concern or doubt that the two parties might have divergent intentions, whether linguistic, emotional, or in terms of the substance of the covenant and the life that will follow it. It seems the Torah recognizes that a covenant forged between adversaries or individuals in a strained relationship inevitably includes a degree of misunderstanding. There's a real chance that each side holds a different vision of the future. But the Torah teaches us that this is precisely the power of a covenant, the capacity to maintain a relationship between those who are different, to clarify distinctiveness, sometimes even to formalize separation, and through this process, possibly relinquish some enmity. In doing so, the covenant becomes a creative act and a widening of the space of the sacred. Shabbat Shalom.